to appoint a conference committee, and that's why we need a quorum on the floor. So please stay in here. Okay. Reading clerk will read the message from the Senate.
Message number 334, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 121. The Senate conferees are Senator Bebout, Chairman, Senator Perkins, Senator Von Flatern. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a Light Committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Conference committee to meet with the Senate on Senate File 121 is Larson Lloyd, Walters, and Nicholas Chairman. Okay. We will stand at ease until 2 o'clock. Yeah. Lloyd Larson and Tom Walters. That was already arranged for. Okay. Wait, don't leave. Chairman Nicholas.
Your conference committee on Senate File 121 and House Bill 194 will meet at 145 down in L56, I believe. And also at 2 o'clock, your conference committee for Senate File 120 will meet.
Okay.
Same place.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Nicholas, would you just wait one moment, please? Do we still have a quorum? Okay. Okay, I think it's the same committee, isn't it? Do you know?
120?
Yeah. 120, yeah. Yeah. Chairman Nicholas, please. Okay. If you just wait, please, we need to keep a quorum again. The quicker we do this, the quicker we all go home. Well, 34? Okay, thank you for your patience. The reading clerk will read the message from the Senate.
Message number 335, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 120. The Senate conferees are Senator Perkins, Chairman, Senator Agar, Senator Peterson. The Senate requests the House appoint a committee number 1 to meet with the Light Committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Okay. Conference committee for Senate File 120 is Summers, Wilson, and Nicholas Chairman. The House can stand the. No.
Yeah.
Chairman.
I'll just reannounce that that committee will meet at 2 o'clock in room L56.
Okay. Thank you. The House is again at ease until 2 o'clock. House will come to order. We're at that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 325, concurrence. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 78, Opioid Addiction Task Force, ayes 30. Message number 326. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 105, Drug Donation Program Act Expansion, ayes 30. Message number 327. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 74, Crimes Against Critical Infrastructure, ayes 21, noes 9. Message number 328. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 118, Kickstart Wyoming, Economic Diversification, ayes 17, noes 13. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 329. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 116, Retirement Income Security Task Force 2, ayes 21, noes 9. Message number 331. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 70, Revisors Bill, ayes 30. Message number 332. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 119, Workforce Development Priority Economic Sector Program, ayes 17, noes 13. Message number 330, concurrence failed. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Senate File number 120, Government Efficiency Project. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated, noes 30. Message number 333, concurrence failed. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Senate File 121, State-Funded Capital Construction 2. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 1, noes 29. Message number 336, Joint Conference Committee Report, adopted. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, House Bill 109, Public Employees Retirement Plan Contributions. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, excused 2. Message number 337, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, House Bill 1, General Government Appropriations. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 19, noes 11. Message number 338, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee number 1 from the House on amendments to House Bill 140. The Senate conferees are Senator Coe, Chairman, Senator Ellis, Senator Kinski. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We'll stand at ease until the sound of the gavel. Chairman Barlow, please. Representative Lone, please. House will come to order. We are at that order of business of bills on third and reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 93, and there are amendments.
Senate File 93. Sponsored by Senator Anselmi Dalton, Child Sexual Abuse Education and Prevention, an act relating to education, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Okay, we have two amendments. We will take amendment number two first. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move third reading amendment number two to Senate File 93 and ask for your consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday there was an amendment that came and went to page three of the bill, lines 13, 14, and struck the entire funding. What I've brought back is just an amendment that will strike the private. So it's striking private and from the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, I think what we heard from the good bringer of the amendment yesterday, who was unfortunately not in the room right at the moment, was that she was concerned about private sources coming, private funding coming into these districts, et cetera. And I wanted to respond to that, but I didn't also do, I want to have a discussion that there was public funds also in the same sentence. These are our schools. They routinely receive public funds. Seemed obvious that we would leave them that opportunity. So I just respectfully ask for your favorable consideration of that amendment. And if there are no, Madam.
Representative Connolly, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And I'll just push back gently on this. And though I appreciate kind of the thoughts that were brought up yesterday, it occurred to me that I think that that's one of the stronger parts of the bills. It allows for kind of the local district to go out and get whatever kind of aid and information it needs from a variety of sources. And I noticed yesterday while we were going over the third reading bills, two of them had almost identical language in it that is in this bill. So in SF 78, we have in there that there should be, that the agency should go get grants related to substance abuse, education, prevention, treatment, and recovery made available by the federal government, state of Wyoming, and other private organizations. On Senate File 120, it says that the governor's grant office shall identify, prioritize, obtain, and track down available federal, private, nonprofit, and other funding. So just to kind of illustrate that many of our bills use comparable language, and I think that it could help. And so on and against the amendment and in favor of the bill.
Representative Flitner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you maybe to resist this amendment just simply because it's been made known to me that there are dollars available here within a state agency, and they're dollars that can only be spent for this sort of thing. They're sitting there and waiting to be used, to be funneled into this particular type of program, but without any initiative made by the department that oversees our education, they can't really utilize those dollars. So that would be the beauty of this, is that there's dollars there, and then it would be up to the school boards whether or not they choose to implement this program locally. So thank you.
Representative Clem, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, on and for the amendment. I guess what it comes down to is you know, what are we willing to flood our school districts with? Are you okay with private funds coming from a Christian organization that believes in traditional marriage and is strictly opposed to the transgender ideology in order to support some kind of cause such as this, to promote child abuse, child sexual abuse education and prevention? Are you willing to accept those kind of funds? Are you willing to accept those kind of funds from an organization that what might be classified as quote-unquote far left and promotes a transgender kind of ideology and all this other stuff? Are you willing to accept that into your school district? You see, it works both ways. And if you're willing to accept private funds, then you're willing to accept private funds from not only an organization or an organization with an ideology that you agree with, but you're also willing to accept those kind of funds from an organization that you don't agree with. And so my point is simply just let it be public funds. If we're going to go ahead and accept this kind of program, and by the way, we can do this already. This isn't anything new. This is a feel-good bill. But if you're willing to do this, then let's not flood our school districts with a bunch of private funds from outside organizations that are really trying to lobby our districts and lobby our towns, lobby our schools, lobby our teachers, and influence our children's minds. Do you want your child's mind to be influenced by a Christian organization or a far-left organization? That's really what it comes down to. So I would ask you to adopt this amendment. Let's take private funds out of there and keep it at public funds. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Chairman's wanted, sir. First time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I guess I've gently pushed back on those last comments that you can have far-left Christian organizations, too. It's not far-left or Christian. So let's dispel that notion real quick. But what I would say, and also that not all private funding is ideological whatsoever. There's all sorts of foundations out there or individuals who may not have any other ideology or any type of, we seem to use the word nefarious all the time in this session, any other nefarious agenda besides trying to prevent this kind of stuff that doesn't have any type of strings or ideology besides just trying to make a difference. So let's also dispel this notion that all private funds have some type of ideological bearing on them. There really are still people in the world who just want to give money to make a difference for the good of altruism. And there's also lots of opportunities, as a good representative from District 26 said, to partner and to match private and public funding opportunities, that you can get a proportion from school districts or this, our state agency, that if they can get a private match, hey, that money goes twice as far to preventing stuff like this. And so I don't want to discount private funding because there's a lot of good private funding in the world, and all the boards I've been on, the research continues to show the four states in the Mountain West, us, our neighbor to the north, and the two to the northeast, are the least four privately funded states for grants, for education, for any type of nonprofit assistance. So trying to get private funds to this part of the country is already difficult. I don't think we should make it any more difficult.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we're suffering from a little short-term memory disease in this body. Just a few days ago, this group right here in front of me approved the motto being placed in schools. And I believe that the funding mechanism behind that was private money. So either you're on this or you're not. So be consistent. At least be consistent. On and against.
Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, if somebody offers funds, you don't have to take them just because they offer. And I can guarantee you, as a former educator, if someone offered funds that I felt was inappropriate to be used in our school, I'd be the first one to stand up and say no.
Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, mine's more of just a question. So it was mentioned that there were people already kind of lined up wanting to give money into this. Could we get a list of who those people might be?
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And just to answer that last question, the organization, Can I say Attorney General? I'm not sure. But our big attorney's office has a division within it for victim services. They have money that's available. They pass out money to each of our counties has a sexual assault and domestic violence prevention organization. They are the trained individuals in the state and organizations who have expertise that school districts could tap into. So that's the primary answer of who is available. And then to reiterate what the good former principal across the hill has said, remember, this is totally permissive. No school district need do it. And also understand, school districts have lots of choices. And in fact, no other body other than a school district chooses, for example, textbooks, right? So whatever curriculum they want, they choose. And then the other notion that we don't need this at all, again, it is permissive, but I read you two other bills yesterday where we specifically say that we want the organization, the agency, to go out and look for these other funds. Because honestly, we're a bit strict about that, right? It may be permissive with them as well, but we want them to partner. And that's exactly what this bill has in it as well, is the ability for the school districts to do those kinds of partnerships. So on and in favor of the bill and against this amendment.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Barlow.
Glad we're still in fine form today. Please vote your conscience. Never said that at the mic before.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 93. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 has failed to be adopted. Vision being called. All those in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. As I said, it fails 22-31. Okay. Next amendment for our consideration is amendment number 1. Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move amendment number 1, third reading to Senate file 93, and ask for your favorable consideration. This is this is off topic. This is taking care of our children. And we kind of rushed through this whole process on this bill, bringing it in at 6:30 at night on Thursday, and so now we're here, and I believe it's important we discuss a few more topics and a few more items within this bill that are concerning. And so I would like to point out a couple areas. One specific is on page 2, line 9, where it talks about providing training, and that's already part of our statutes. It's under statute 14.3205. So we've got a bill here that is redundant in many ways, and I think it's unimportant at this time. I think we need to bring this back later and make sure that we're not being redundant in our processes. So, I believe this is an important discussion to talk about. It's something we need to have the discussion about, but I feel this bill is not ready for us to be passing through this body. Thank you.
Anyone for their first time? Wait. Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So normally when I get to the mic, I don't talk very long, and it's because I think our time is valuable. We're just kind of puttering away this afternoon, and I'm kind of glad we have something to debate. We can all work on our skills. So I guess what I've got to say will take a little while. When we bring on new programs into any part of government, it tends to take on a life of its own. A few years back, before I got into politics, and I was a freshman up here, there was money put into a program that started before I got into legislature, and it came about because of the bombing of two big, tall buildings to the east of us. And it had a lot to do with the inability of different agencies to operate. So I'm kind of on a different subject here. But I think since this is wide open, I can talk about introducing new programs. So I thought, well, that's good money to spend. Everybody loves this radio system we've got. And the next year they come back and they're funding it again. And I'm thinking, well, what's this about? And I soon learned that we put it into place, it starts costing. So I researched the history of it a little bit. If you went back in the history, it was federal money that put together this amazing interagency communication system, and our state loved it. You know, the people involved in it, everybody thought it was the greatest deal. And then suddenly, we didn't have enough money to fund it anymore. The first part were federal funds. That was free money. So they stuck the hook in about as far as they could. You couldn't get the hook out if you tried. And more money and more money and more money. And now the state doesn't have the money to fund that anymore. So the users are going to have to fund it. And it's suddenly not such a fun program, not such a good one. And I guess I've learned through this process that we have to be really careful how we vote on different things. There was a question I didn't get to answer concerning, and I would have probably liked to have answered it. Our minority floor leader asked, what would happen if we didn't put this money into that program? And I don't know what it was, a couple million bucks again in the budget. And the answer to that is we'd essentially walk away from a $120 million investment. That's what we've got into that. Amazing. It's far from a Cadillac. It's like a Ferrari. It's really something. But when we do this, and I think that's an extreme, and this one's probably couldn't grow like that. But if we adopt this idea, we take on something that's patented. I think I've gone over my usual minute. It's something that's patented, and we're kind of hooked into that. We have, let me just, there are alternatives. Most of the time we can do other things. One of the great alternatives is we've got a great staff with our state, from the teachers to state employees who I think could develop a good program without having to buy into one or really having to invest into very much to for the training to properly take care of our kids. So I'm not in favor of this bill, and I think that that's the longest I've ever spoken at this mic, and I'll just shut up now.
Just a reminder of the body, all of our time at the mic is invaluable and important. And watch the proper names. Okay. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. One of the handouts you may have in front of you, and I don't know, maybe you don't have it anymore, it says 48 years behind bars for teacher that sexually abused four girls. Remember the other day when I was telling you that the people that have the problem with abusing children are those who work around children. or they're an instructor around children. That's where you'll find them. And in doing that, you see more and more of the teachers that are involved in this problem. Yet we want to go out and give them authority to teach our children who are given to us by God for us to raise. And in doing that, they teach our children at a young age things that they're not supposed to know. They're not even interested in. And yet, those in government think that our children ought to be just as grown-ups, that they would know all of this.
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
And Representative Summers, your point?
My point is that you're calling a certain sector of society something that I don't think you should be calling them.
Well, if you think I'm doing the whole sector, you're sure wrong about that, because there are a few, and you look out there and you'll find them in the papers. And in this, as we teach those children as they grow up, and we've taught them at a young age what government thinks they ought to do in an area they have absolutely no reason to be in that area, they raise up children that'll have the same problems as the ones that they're trying to catch who the perpetrators are. And one of the things I saw, there were 365 children that were found that said that it was their parents that done it. Well, why do we have to teach all the children in the schools about the problems that are being created by parents? It is not the children that are problems. Yet we think we have to teach our children sex education at a younger and younger age when they're not in this in their own minds. They have nothing at all to do with it. Yet we as a political body think that we ought to be telling the schools to teach our children about sex education. It is not their responsibility. It is the parents' responsibility to do this. And I definitely do believe that whenever those that are perpetrators or whatever part of society they're in, when they're found, they need to be prosecuted to the greatest extent the law will do it, because they are the lowest among people whenever they will take advantage of children that are innocent. On and against the bill.
Representative Bovee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just wanted to clear up a couple of things. First of all, this bill doesn't call for sex education. That's not what it's calling for. It's calling for telling how you tell your kids that you don't have to let people touch you if you don't want them to touch you. And it's always appropriate. It's also not a program. It's not something that we're going to go out and buy. So there's no funding that's attached to it. It's not a program. It's more about training. So if you were to look on page 2, it just says that the school is authorized to take the following actions: provide parents with information, provide training to teachers so that they can recognize when someone is being sexually abused, and to other district employees. Find instructional methods relating to this so that we can appropriately tell our little kids that nobody has the right to touch them in any of those ways. That's all it is. It's not a conspiracy. It's not a costly program. It's really just to protect our kids.
Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 1 in 4 young ladies are abused before the age of 18. I have always been on the side of the 3 in parental rights and restricting schools and governments. But you know what? In fact, I voted against this bill the other night at first reading. But since that time, I've done a lot of research and made some phone calls and studied this topic, and I've come to the conclusion that I am wrong. And the reason is our society has reached the point that we're destroying lives at this young age. I think it's a horrible thing that one in four young women are being abused. I want to protect the three and the parents' rights, and this bill doesn't. In fact, frankly, Aaron's Law, the way eliminated, is a very good, safe place. I called the chairman of the Beehive State School Board. They're not in visit with him, and they adopted Aaron's Law, and they adopted it on a mandatory basis. They didn't have to, but they adopted it. They wanted to make sure they give the kids every protection they could. They did have an opt-out for the parents. I just think it's a travesty that this abuse is going on and we're not doing anything. And in regards to the parents, guess what? If we don't do something, those one in four kids are going to be abused by their parents. That's a terrible, terrible statistic. I think we need to step in and protect those children. Speaking opposed to the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Belke.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, you know, this issue's gotten clouded over the last couple of days, and it just amazes me. We talk about parents' rights. We talk about the state trying to regulate how we raise our children. One of the most compelling statistics that I've seen over the past few days is that more than 60% of those children who are abused by a parent or a step-parent. And it's not just three of four women. There are young men that are abused. I'm not going to mention names, but I have a colleague in this house who mentioned that he had an intern who was afraid to go home, and he thought it was because he was interested in the legislative process, but he had fear of simply returning to his house because the step-parent was abusing him. We need to take steps not to inform teachers on how to recognize child abuse, not to inform professionals how to recognize child abuse, but we need to inform children that it's appropriate and entirely appropriate to raise the issue with a trusted adult and say, look, there are things going on in my life that I suspect are wrong, and the instruction here makes me feel okay about talking to you about it. I vote in favor of this bill, vote against this amendment, and let's not cloud this issue. We're talking about children who are being abused, often by people they trust.
Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, you know, we all live in an echo chamber. We have it's just human nature that we surround ourselves with people who think and believe like we do. And sometimes we become self-delusional, thinking that everyone is like we are. If you think that the school systems want to take on the responsibilities of parenting, you're wrong. But next to the parents, for most kids, we're the adult in their life that can take care of them, protect them, do the right thing for them. In a lot of cases, you know, the in loco parentis is really the way we live as educators, those of us who have done that, in place of the parents. Now, I know that people in this room, the parents in this room, are probably excellent parents. They have those talks, those important talks, and those hard, difficult talks with their kids, but not everyone's that way. That's where the schools have to take over. Not that we want to take over the responsibilities of a parent, but because we're the last person left that can do that. So think about that for a little bit, not just in terms of your own kids and your own family, but think about all the kids that we serve in the system. You know, it has been 47 years since I started teaching, and I guarantee you I've seen a huge change in the parenting styles that we have to deal with right now. So when you cast your vote, I want you to think about those kids that are not like your kids, that don't have that same kind of parental
attention that your kids have. Those are the kids we're trying to reach. And remember, this is strictly a voluntary program. We're not forcing this on anyone. So on and against the amendment for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Stiff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and against the amendment and for the bill. 2 points. We've focused a lot on parents and whether this will disrupt their ability to be parents. There's another facet to this. There was a handout in your box yesterday with a true report, true account of an incident in a state on the eastern side of our country, north of our nation's capital, named after a queen of some other country. In any event, where the perpetrator was the teacher, not a parent, and it was through this kind of program that the abuse was uncovered. And the second point is the numbers we've heard of the statistics, we all know that there are far, far more children out there who are suffering abuse, and it's not being reported. We all know that, and the rate of it is far higher than any of us would like to acknowledge. I ask you to vote against the amendment for the bill, because if it just helps a few of the children to not suffer the same abuse repeatedly and over again, then at least we will have done some good and we will not have done harm. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, as I go through this bill, I'm kind of actually a little bit torn, and let me let me tell you the reason why. I guess first of all, let me just again thank the bringers of the bill. Thank the body for the hard work that you've put into it. I know we've debated this thing and we've made the bill a whole lot better. And I appreciate that. One of the concerns that I have as a father of 4 children, but my 2 youngest being 5 and 3. And say what you want, but I do view this as a form of sex education. You say, well, they're not getting sex education. I know we're not doing diagrams and charts, and we're not looking at genitalia, and we're not talking about body fluids and safe sex and all that kind of stuff. We're not doing that with 3 and 5 year olds, hopefully. All right, but it does introduce them to this concept of sexual touch. So it is, in a sense, a form of sex education, whether we like it or not. And as a father, that concerns me because I feel that is my duty, my prerogative, my duty as a parent to teach my children about that, to introduce that first. Okay, so I think, in a sense, we did some good things with this bill, because one of the things we did is we said that it was one of the second reading amendments. You have to opt into this program. All right. So I think, in a sense, we've cleaned things up. Let me tell you what I think is a little bit redundant. I do view this, and with all due respect, I view this as a feel-good bill. Because we can do this already. There is nothing in here that is new. Nothing new under the sun when it comes to this piece of legislation right here. It just simply isn't. It's a feel-good bill. And it's one of those things that I know when we get with situations like this and we're confronted with bills like this, we're tempted, and we often give in to the temptation to vote with our feelings instead of our intellect and our principles. That's on each and every one of us. I guess that we get to choose what we're going to do. I just noticed that happens a lot. We vote with our feelings instead of with our intellect. That being said, here's something interesting with this bill. Because, this is something that's already permissive. I just want to pay attention. With the amendments that we passed, here's what we put in here. So on page 2. Line number one, it says a school district, and we've inserted a school district that has not already taken similar action. So school districts can already take action, and a school district that has not already taken similar action is authorized to take the following actions relating to sexual abuse, education, prevention, and response. The other thing that we put into this bill is we said you have to opt in. So if there's any existing programs, because they can already do this, mind you, and if they can already do this and there's existing programs, guess what? At least starting this next school year, they have to opt in. Right now, they don't have to opt in. I think actually it's probably one of the good components of the bill. It makes me think twice. Maybe I should vote for this because it strengthens current law. it strengthens things up a little bit, because right now a school district can go ahead and do this type of program without any kind of written clause, any kind of opt-in or opt-out. There's nothing like that in our current system because it's already permissive and they can already do it. We strengthen things, in my view, because we say, you know what, if you're going to do this and have a child participate, the parent has to opt in. I think that's actually a pretty good selling point of the bill. It makes me kind of want to vote for it. And I'm not sure that the body inadvertently thought of that, but that's one of the repercussions of this bill. So again, one of those things to think about. I appreciate the work that's been done on this. I think there's been some good work. It's been good discussion. But again, it's a feel-good bill, something that we already do. But we are strengthening things. I don't know. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to listen to the conversation a little bit more, but I think we strengthen current law. So if it does pass, and I don't know if I'll vote for it or not. If it does, I don't know if I'm going to be too upset about it because it strengthens things a little bit. And I kind of appreciate that. So vote your conscience on this one. I don't know. I'm probably still going to vote no. I don't know. We'll see. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. As the chairman of 8 pointed out, we do have some leisure to discuss this that we don't usually have. So I'll take a turn. I've been waiting for a couple of days for somebody to bring up the incidents that happened in the state that has the Upper Peninsula, where there were 200 victims and basically one perpetrator, and the victims were some of our best and brightest children in this country, on into their at least middle, if not later, adult years, and things were happening to them that never should have happened to anybody, and in some cases, they blew the whistle and told their parents, and the parents didn't believe them, and it didn't get dealt with until it finally got dealt with in a courtroom years after all this had transpired. And that makes me think that a bill like this might be a good thing. I think the opt-out provision was very important to it, because I know there are parents that just wouldn't want this discussion going on with their children outside the home. Though there was very good comments made by our representative from District 60 about some of the problems that creates when you divide the kids into two groups in a school setting like that, and I don't know how to get around that. I think the opt-in provision was very important. In my world, there was some kind of incident that didn't come to my attention until years later. It had to be very troubling for the person that I cared about, and it never came out. I don't know how long it was. I still don't know how long it was, but I remember it from being finally divulged to me 20 years later. And I wonder, had there been something like this, maybe that child would have somehow expressed that in a way that would have caused me to realize something was wrong and I could have provided more help than I did provide. So, against the amendment for the bill.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So, just a couple of things that came to light to me in conversation the last couple of days with our superintendent of schools in the county I'm from. And we only have one school district in our county. We are the second largest populous school district in the state. We service about 15% of the total students in the state. So I asked the superintendent, I said, do we in my county have an existing program? Do you have anything to teach from? And his answer was, no, we leave it up to the teachers because they're on the front lines. And then we have a bit of a process on, you know, calling others in, say the school nurse, to take a look. And that kind of a process. And then eventually calling DFS to help. And I said, what have you read the bill? And he said, yes, I have. And I'm interested, very interested. And I said, well, do you think it's something our school board would be interested in taking a look at? And he said, I truly believe that. Do you see, another question I asked him, do you see anything in the bill that's upsetting to you? And he said, no, we're, you know, as far as communicating with the parents, I feel we do a good job of that, on opting in and out. And I said, well, do you see a problem with the school district opting in and out? And he said, no. But he said, I think we would opt in because there's protection in existing policy and guidelines to protect the parents that don't want that. I'm not an educator. My good colleague from the same county I'm from is an educator. So I just think it gives a tremendous tool. And I would ask you to defeat the amendment. I know you've gotten emails. The emails I've gotten are not from my constituents, but maybe from your constituents. And I question where the motivation is coming from. If you're a homeschooler or have religious beliefs, I think we honor those in our school districts. So I just don't see the black helicopters on this deal. I think it's the right thing for us to do. I really appreciate the bringers of this bill. I totally support the good representative from District 26. That's put a lot of hard thought and hard work into this. I ask you to defeat this amendment, and let's support this for our most vulnerable young people.
We need to break just quickly for a brief announcement. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just reporting back to the House that the combined committee for House Bill 194 and Senate File 121 could not reach an agreement or a concurrence to or proposal. So the process is we bring this back to the House, we report it to the chair in order to get a new committee appointed on both of the two bills for an open committee.
Thank you for your patience. We need to wait to get that from the Senate, so it'll be just a brief period of time. With that, Representative Blackburn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I stood staunchly against this bill to start with, and I'm pretty appalled at hearing all these figures of 25%, 60%. I'm not sure it's a place of government to be doing this. I thank you for the debate. I guess you've wavered me now, so I'm not stuck in the cement against this bill, but I may vote for it anyway. Thank you so much for your input.
Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem, this is certainly an emotional issue, and I I think everyone here probably knows someone that this has affected, and I don't know anyone that's wanting to stand up for that. We want them prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But I look at this, and we try and pass out things that have the sideboards and tell us what we're really doing. So I direct your attention to the page number 2, starting with line 22. And consult with, this is what we're asking. Now, keep in mind that our school districts already, many of them have this, and they have the option to do this, so it's rather redundant. But look at what we're asking them to do. Consult with federal, which ones? State, which ones? Local entities, which ones? Community-based organizations, including child welfare, information gateway, internet, website. I don't know who that is, but it is least specific there. Maintained by the United States Department of Health and Human Services. And to identify, so they not only have to do all of those four or five things, is what they're directed to do, but then they have to identify evidence-based tools and programs to prevent and respond, so not just to prevent, but also to respond, which you would want them to be able to do that, to child sexual abuse. And then it does, the next thing is kind of vague also to me. Develop community-based strategies. I mean, that's tremendously broad. And we're asking our schools to take this on also. Promote education and collaboration and accountability. How are they going to promote the accountability? Where are they going to put that across? We're going to put law enforcement in this? Among persons and entities who are responsible for sexual, child sexual abuse education, prevention, and response. So now we've added education, prevention, and response. And then you have a whole list of people that could be involved in that, including parents. Thank goodness we saw fit to put them in, guardians, law enforcement, judicial officers, health care providers. We're going to go talk to the doctors and other members of the community. Which ones? This is far too broad. I'm not opposed to the programs that they have. They have this available to them now. On and against.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Speaker Pro Tem. So there's nothing nefarious in this whole bill. It's just about education. And you have the choice. The other thing I'd like to say is we spent an hour on the debate the other day. We started at 5:30-ish, and it was 6:30-ish when we left. And so I don't think that debate was particularly rushed any more than this debate is being rushed. Just want to make sure to set that record straight that we spent time on it the first time around. And if it truly is one of four, then we look at ourselves and we say, okay, so it's not in this room. It's not this group. So now who is it? On and for the bill. Thank you.
Okay, just a reminder to everyone, we are adequately debating the bill, but it's not to use up time, it's to debate the bill. We do have several conference committees waiting. Representative Summers.
First for a second.
Okay, anyone else for the first time? Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I worked in schools for 33 years, and technically I'm still doing that. I can come up with story after story, a lot of them that can rip your tear ducts. I'm going to spare you that. The previous speaker talks about all these things that the law mandates. The law doesn't mandate anything. It's basically what happens is these are things that you can do to where that you can help these children that are in very difficult situations. Then the question was, is, well, if the school districts can do that already, why are we doing this bill and why are we pushing forward? I've worked in a school district most of my life, and they're a strange animal. I'll be the first one to admit it. When I was hired to the job that I was doing now, what I was tasked with is to go out and get students to take college classes so that they could have a true head start to their college education. I went out the first year, and after the first year, they did a statistics on how many new students or the percentage increase of dual and concurrent enrollment was. It was 34%. And they ask, why did you have such a big bump of students taking classes? And I'll tell you the secret. It wasn't me. What I did is I said, what do you want to do to have your kids take dual and concurrent enrollment? And they told me. And I said, do it. And they did. And we had a significant increase. I submit to you guys that there are school districts out there that recognize the problem, that they want to do something, they want to stop this abuse, they want to help the family, and what this bill does is tell them, do it. It gives them permission to do the right thing. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no one else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor, Representative Eklund.
So a couple of points I want to make with my discussion. One little thing I didn't offer the first time is I talked to the educators in the main district that I know, and they had never even heard of this thing. My point is, this is well-intended and much needed in the culture and the society that we're in. But this is the wrong approach. We need to thoughtfully look at this thing. And in my mind, we have the expertise with our own education system, whether it be at the state level or the local level. We have people that can put together a program without taking on any more funding, and if they did bring on funding, it wouldn't be nearly as much. The other part of that $120 million program that I told you about, it was a voluntary opt-in and opt-out, and now it's just pretty hard to opt out of it at all. And my apologies to the floor for using some brand names on some cars. That just kind of slipped my mind. I'm opposed to this bill, not opposed to the concept.
A quick announcement. The second Joint Conference Committee on Senate File 121 is Walters, Larson Lloyd, and Nicholas Chairman. Representative Pelkey, second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm going to use an oft-used phrase and say I'm going to gently push back on our colleague who suggested that people who are voting in favor of this bill are voting from the heart. We've seen the numbers. Yes, we've seen individual stories, but the numbers are compelling. Upwards of 25% of kids are molested at some point in their life, the majority of whom are subject to molestation by their parents. I'm uncomfortable with the parental opt-out, but I also recognize that the kids that do participate in the program may be more equipped to recognize the signs of abuse. And I'm in support of this bill, even as amended, and I would urge you to vote down the amendment and think with your brain.
Representative Clem, second time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I like that. I hope that we all vote with our intellect. I think that's good. Wherever you are in the political spectrum, I think it's good to vote on your principles and not with your feelings. So what are we doing? Again, I'm not going to rehash what I said up here, but I am kind of speaking to proponents of the bill, because I want you to consider something that you're voting for. Right now, your school district can do this. There is nothing in state statute that forbids your school board to say, you know what, we want to do this program. There's nothing. But, and there's nothing in statute, current statute, that I'm aware of anyway, unless someone can tell me different, that says that you have to have an opt-in. This isn't an opt-out, by the way. This is an opt-in. If you want your child, if the school district wants to teach your children this stuff going forward, if this bill passes, they have to get expressed written permission from you as a parent before your child can participate. There is no opt-out. The parent has to opt their child into any such programs, including existing programs that already exist. So there's one out there. I think it's Safe Touch or something. I'm not sure of the name, but it's like a Safe Touch or something like that. Okay? And a school district right now can go ahead and do that program. No restrictions at all. They can do all of these things that's in the bill already. But if this bill goes through, you're going to have to opt your child in starting next school year. Furthermore, we're really kind of putting school districts in a box, because we have expressed written criteria now in this bill that says this is what you can do, this is who you can talk to, and that's it. So you're actually, instead of keeping the topic broad and utilizing skills, you know, knowledge, skills, and tools in a broad array, you're narrowing it down to what this bill says. That's fine. If you're a proponent of the bill and you like that, kudos. I'm not going to argue against it. In fact, if this bill goes through, it's not going to give me a whole lot of heartburn, I don't think. I'm probably going to vote no, but just something to consider, that you're really putting this down into a narrow, narrow box. Furthermore, it says it has to be evidence-based. Now, I don't know if the Safe Touch program or any such program that our school districts are doing are evidence-based, but that's part of the box that we're putting this in, evidence-based. So if you want an evidence, if you don't have an evidence-based program, then guess what? According to this, you're breaking, I guess, the state statute. Is that what you want? Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's kind of almost a catch-22 for some, but I don't know. On and against the bill. Thank you.
Second time. Anyone else? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, thank you. On and support of the bill. And just to what the last speaker said, this is a permissive bill. This is not set in stone that you have to do it this way. It's basically providing a framework and heightening the discussion, heightening the issue, hopefully educating people, and hopefully trying to do some good with a very, very difficult population that exists out there. So on in support of the bill.
Representative Edwards.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I think that those of you that brought this bill, I don't think you intended it to get this far with the amendments in it, because I have a feeling that you want to be able to look at all of the children. And if you mean what you're saying, that it's the parents that's causing the problem with an opt-out, you just took out those that will never have their children before you. Did you really mean that to happen? I don't think so. I think this is just the beginning. It said that you've already got it. So why would you want to have something else? And I do think there's something nefarious about this. You always hear the saying, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. God gave me my kids. He didn't give them to you. On and against the bill.
Anyone else? Second time? Okay. Representative Blum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, and thank you, body, for this vigorous discussion. I felt that this was something that was needed for this bill. to make sure we fleshed out every piece of this and discussed all of the concerns in this bill. So with that, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I withdraw third reading amendment number one to Senate File 93 and call for the question.
Senate File 93, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Senate File 93, Allen. No. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman. No. Blackburn. No. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
No.
No. Byrd.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen. No. Clem. No. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
No.
Crank.
Aye.
Aye. Dayton.
Aye.
Aye. Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
No.
No. Ayer.
Aye.
Aye. Flitner.
Aye.
Aye. Freeman.
Aye.
Aye. Furphy.
Aye.
Aye. Giroux.
Aye.
Aye. Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
No.
No. Haley.
Aye.
Aye. Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
No. Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Excused.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas. Excused. Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
No.
Ponnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters. Excused. Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Speaker, excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 32 aye, 24 no, 4 excused.
Senate File 93, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 93 has passed the House. Chairman Barlow, privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So a couple of days ago, I made a comment about what was going to happen this week and all the colorfulness that was going to happen. And earlier, I don't know if you noticed, I was coming up to do that third reading amendment, and I couldn't find my amendment because it was in that, you know, that bag that you get when you get on the airplane, the barf bag, the rabbit. But I'll have you know that somebody out on the internet heard that we were going to talk about rabbits and barbs, and they thought we should have both ends of what a rabbit gives us. So from the public, there you go, Technicolor rabbit. It might come in bright, but it goes out the other.
It was a privilege, in more ways than one. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 339, Joint Conference Committee Report adopted. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, Senate File number 36, Veterans Tuition Program Limits. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Joint Conference Committee reports. Gurr, Joint Conference Committee reports, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move joint conference committee report number 275, and I will ask for your favorable vote on this. So, folks, this is the omnibus water bill construction, House Bill 78. I spoke to some of the elder members of the legislature, and they can't remember the last time this bill went to conference committee, but as I think was said early on in this chamber, is whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting over. So, so the issues that we had on this, to lay them out, were one is we brought in the ability for people in Crook County to join on to the Madison water supply. That was an amendment out of the other house. This house had stripped out the West Fork Dam project. It was put back in by the other side. The other side, they put some restrictions on some AML dollars. And then, of course, our favorite subject, weather mod, was modified by the Senate. So we've been a little while on a conference here. I'm quite comfortable with the solution that we came to. First of all, let me address the issues with the restrictions on the AML funds. Those are gone. So that Senate position's out of the way. The second was on the weather mod. The Senate had reduced the spending, I think, by $50,000 in the percentage share. And if you recall, this has to do with the percentage with the states to the south of us. And quite frankly, I agreed with the Senate position, but I had to defend the House position. So what we ended up doing was splitting the baby, so there's $106,000 in the weather mod, and it's an 80-20 split. My opinion is if it's a 75 split as it came out of the House, or 84 as it came out of the Senate, or 80 as it is in this conference committee report, it's the same result, because as I heard the testimony, we needed a 50-50 to be able to continue that program with the other states. So we just, on that, something I don't like to do, but we ended up agreeing basically to just split the difference, and so it's at 80%. The issue, which was the most concern of mine, and one I really wanted to address, had to deal with the Madison Pipeline. And as we know, a very important project in this state took drinking water over to the Energy City area. A lot of money has been invested by the state of Wyoming, a lot of money by that municipality. There is some dispute regarding the effect that those wells have had on local landowners. The amendment was brought, I think, even though my opinion is the legislature ought to be very cautious about weighing in on the water bill, because it'd be like us weighing in on highway projects. Not things that we really want to make political, but in this situation, I thought it was appropriate. What you'll see on the conference report is that in that particular area, in that county, that we'll authorize up to 200 taps off of an 8-inch line which is already existing. They will pay the same tap fee that you would otherwise, and those taps are limited to 1 million gallons per year, so that they're really going to be a household or a stock tank type of usage, not a commercial usage. In my neck of the woods, we have a regional water system that has been wonderful for the Bighorn Basin, supplied good water throughout the basin. I like the result that we came to here, and it was a matter of sitting down and finding a rational solution to solve a problem. And in my opinion, by allowing these taps to come on and the people to pay for the taps, we're solving a problem that I think we would otherwise see in the future, and we're solving a problem at no cost, where I think in the future, as we've seen in other parts of the state, would cost us a great deal. So I am very happy with that resolution. Now, on to the part that we all really like, the West Fork Dam Project. So, this body said, no dam. Okay? That was contrary to the last 6 years of the commission, the Select Water Committee, the Ag Committee. So they said, no dam. And this, in the Senate, they came in, and they said, we're going to put $10 million back in it. If you remember, the Select Committee had $40 million for it. Came out of our House Appropriations Committee at $10 million. This body took that damn dam out of there. So what you're going to see in here is $4.6 million, a little over $4.6 million for that project. And I got a long explanation of why those dollars are there. What I want to draw your attention to these pages aren't numbered. So page 1, 2, on page 3, Romanette 7. Read that. When the Senate brought their $10 million back, for some reason they put these special conditions on there. These special conditions say that funds from this appropriation shall not be expended until the project sponsor and the Wyoming Water Development Commission have secured additional funding commitments from project beneficiaries in both Wyoming and Colorado on a pro rata basis. Funds from this appropriation shall not be expended until the expenditure is approved by the legislature. That was in their amendment. So we adopted that. I would ask for your concurrence.
Anyone for their first time? Second time? Oh. Just a moment. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm not going to talk about the dam project, but I do want to talk a little bit about the Madison. And so I appreciate the compromise that they came up with. And for those, I think everybody in this body is familiar with the Madison project, the state. The state gave a lot of money to that project. However, Campbell County also ponied up. We had to tax ourselves. And we taxed ourselves for that water. Now, I know that the DEQ right now is just looking into this whole well dispute on what happened to some of those wells here, and it's named in here Cook County. And I know it's being blamed on a particular well or two as a result of the Madison, but that's not substantiated yet. There's been this back and forth with the city here, the Razor City. There's just been this dispute, this back and forth, but really what it boils down to is we still don't have the final results yet from DEQ. And I would argue that the city would be amenable to try to make any kind of wrongs right if indeed that there was something that happened with that project. But the fact of the matter is that they chose to wait. They're trying to find out what's the evidence. They're looking through the evidence and trying to find out what is really the problem. Because again, these wells are not at the same depths. Okay, the ones in Crook County are a lot more shallower than the ones that are tapped in the Madison. They're a lot more deeper. And so what really is the problem? Well, we don't know yet. And then here we go, and the legislature is going to come to the rescue, and I'm sure we had some, you know, this is probably coming from on the other side a little bit, from someone trying to fix the problem and trying to remedy the problem. But I would submit to you that the localities are trying to solve this themselves, and we're not giving them time. Instead, we're sticking our nose in the business and saying, you know what, we're going to take care of this ourselves. I would caution the body here. Do we really want an open committee on a water omnibus bill? No, not really. But I'd caution the body here. Let the localities figure this out. Let them complete their process that they're already going through. Please, just let them do this instead of the legislature saying this is what it's going to be. On and against.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm not going to throw any bombs or make any
any kinds of accusations when it comes to what's happened with these wells. I don't know what happened. I do think it's a heck of a coincidence that ranches that have been in existence for 100 years, that their wells just suddenly went dry, or are testing at higher acidic rate than the DEQ of the state of Wyoming has ever seen. I'll say it's a coincidence. I'm not going to, listen, I don't work for DEQ. I don't work in that field. That's for them to figure out. But what I do know is that this is a state project, and the state gave out a lot of money for this project to happen, which I voted for. And I don't regret that vote. I think it's a good project. We're providing a lot of water. The fact of the matter is, though, that the affected area around these wells, it's drying up. The water's disappearing, or it's going acidic. So that being the case, we've got kind of a situation on our hands. The state-funded project is kind of, it's got a little bit of a glare on it right now. Now, if you look at this, you'll see that there's no appropriation for these taps to happen. All we're saying is, you got to chart, you got to allow them to put in taps, and they have to pay for it. That's it. The folks that are within reach that have got this pipeline going through their property, mind you, in Crook County, or a town in another county. I'll guarantee you our founders never thought when they were making the exemption for municipalities and the exemption for counties on taxation, they never thought that that would become an issue. But let me frame this for you. When you got a big project happening in your county, all of that equipment that's there for that project is taxed on property. Can't do that on a project like this because they're tax exempt. So Crook County essentially was repairing those roads and doing all of that work to maintain that infrastructure so that another municipality from another county could put those things in. Now, granted, still voted for the project, still think it's a great deal. What this amounts to is no further appropriation. All it amounts to is that they've got to charge these landowners to put on a tap, because right now they're hauling water because their 100-year-old well is dry and dead or full of acid. So I think we get out in front of this deal and we don't turn it into a huge lawsuit and we don't turn it into a big stain. We get out in front of it. We allow them to provide water for themselves at a rate charged by the city. That's in here. We're not saying how much. We're saying the city gets a set. That's it. Simple deal. Please vote aye.
Representative, I'm sorry.
Blake. Representative Blake, thank you. This is a great compromise. It really is. You know, I wanted the weather mod to come up a little bit, and it did. And the West Fork Dam, the people, it's in the bill, I guess I can say Colorado. The people from Colorado don't chip in, pony up to pay for some of this project, then it's not going to happen. So this is a good deal, Bill. We need to vote for this. We need to vote for the concurrence, because there's a lot of projects in your neighborhood that are on this bill. So we need to get this bill going. So please vote aye.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time? Question having been called. We're voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1 to Senate File 78. I'm sorry, House Bill 78. A majority of elected members is required to adopt the report. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
House Bill 78. Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. No. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. No. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. No. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy.
Aye. Garu.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd. Excused. Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas. Excused. Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz. Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stiff.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters. Excused. Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker. Excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 51 aye, 5 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to House Bill 78. We're at that order of business. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 340. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a light committee number 2 from the House on amendments to Senate File 121. The Senate conferees are Senator Bebout, Chairman, Senator Perkins, Senator Von Flader. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 2 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Message number 341, Joint Conference Committee Report, adopted. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Senate File number 34, Military Spouse Unemployment Sunset Repeal. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 27, noes 2, excused 1. Message number 342, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, Senate File number 45, State Fair Board 2. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, noes 1, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. We're at that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. First report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number 1 on Senate File 36. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move concurrence message number 279 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what we did here is we kind of met in the middle yet again. This was a compromise that went to conference committee. They didn't like what we put in for the veterans tuition program. What we did end up doing is we took out the July 1st. We are saying we're capping it starting immediately as soon as the governor, or the chief executive, sorry, decides to sign this. But what we did do is we added on August 31st of 2020. So we did give the people that are in this their final 2 years worth of usage on this program. That's really what we did. I'd ask for your aye vote.
Anyone for their first time? Second time? Sponsor, do you wish a second? Chairman? Okay, question having been called, we're voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1, report to Senate File 36.
Majority of the elected members are required to adopt the report. The chief clerk will please call the roll.
Senate File 36. Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovey. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Giroux. Aye. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. Aye. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd, excused. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. Aye. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. No. Miller. Aye. Nicholas, excused. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Piperinen. Aye. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. Aye. Simpson. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. Aye. Stith. Aye. Sweeney. Aye. Walters, excused. Wilson. Aye. Winters. Aye. Zawanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker, excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 55 aye, 1 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to Senate File 36. And we'll have a couple more. They're being distributed on the floor, and we'll handle those Joint Conference Committee reports shortly. So just stand at ease till the sound of the gavel, but stay close, please.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, may I have a privilege, please?
Yes, you may, Chairman Eklund.
So, something I've never said at the mic, towards the end, it's very appropriate, I think. This body is going to change drastically come another year, and a lot of the people you see here won't be here. It's usually about a third. I think right now we're about half freshmen, almost, something like that. Anyway, I just wanted to say, since I presume there are going to be some folks not here, it's been a joy working with you. You're a good group, and I've appreciated all of you, veterans and new people as well. And I will miss those of you who leave. And it could be me too. I don't know about it. Won't be me, but.
I'll ask for a privilege of the floor, even though there's no one to grant it. Every year during these lulls, I like to ask one of my Saturday morning trivia questions to this learned group. So this is the one for this year. On the state, and remember the rules are you can't look this up on the Internet, no matter how good a research person you are. You just need to know. Some things you just need to know. On the state seal, there's mention of 4 industries. And they were just as relevant today as they were in 1917 when they were authorized. So can anybody name the 4 industries mentioned on the seal at the front of the room? We have one from the good chairman, livestock, correct? Mining from the majority 4 leader. We have oil from our gentleman from number 2.
Beets and barley.
Beets and barley has been guessed. No, that's close. Grain, Chaplain Winters, very good. That's the 4. And let me give you another one. This one's kind of a fun one from last week. If you were to go somewhere in the world as far away from my hometown as you can get, about where would you be? How would you describe where you think that might be? We have a China, India, we have a Cheyenne, no, not quite. An Indonesia. Botswana, Tasmania, maybe. No. Southern it'd be in the Southern Hemisphere for starters. You know, here's my best explanation of it. You'd be about 1,000 miles southwest of the southwest corner of Australia. So imagine Wyoming out in the middle of the Indian Ocean. That's where you'd be. Thank you.
Just a reminder of the body, we're at ease. You don't need permission to go to the mic. Okay, you are not encouraged to do that.
I think Chairman Barlow should sing his ditty from The Wizard of Oz to us all.
Just a caution, we're broadcasting live.
The cowardly lion is coward.
I need to have a quorum on the floor. I need a quorum on the floor. Would the representatives please come in from the hallway? Okay. Where that order of business is, messages from the Senate.
Message number 343, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number one from the House on amendments to House Bill 194. The Senate conferees are Senator Bebout, Chairman, Senator Perkins, and Senator Von Fladern. Signed, Alan Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Okay. The Conference Committee for House Bill 194, second committee, which to remind everyone is now an open committee, will be Walters, Larson Lloyd, and Nicholas Chairman. And again, we're at ease till the sound of the gavel. We are having some Joint Conference Committee reports prepared for distribution. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 344, conferees appointed, JCC2. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee on number 2 from the House on Amendments to House Bill 194. The Senate conferees are Senator Bebout, Chairman, Senator Perkins, and Senator Von Flader. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
We are at that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee number 1 on Senate File 34. Chairman Eklund.
So, House members, if you remember the bill that we brought that would repeal the sunset on military spouse unemployment benefits, we brought an amendment that would have taken that repeal down to every 2 years. And I opposed it. The Senate opposed it. Also felt it was micromanaging. And let me just share with you something that's already done. So every year this is reviewed. There are reports on this very thing that are brought to the Labor Committee, and they review it. So it goes through. It has legislative oversight. What happened in the committee is we went back to the sunset repeal. And if at any point in time these benefits are abused, we can come in and work on this. We can do it next year. We don't even have to wait 2 years if we don't want to. But we have legislative oversight the way things are, and any more oversight, I just don't want to waste everybody's time every year or so going through the same bill. And I would ask for an aye vote on the conference committee report.
Okay, for your first time, Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So looking at what we did here, and we have this conversation about quite a bit about legislative oversight and this body and the other one down the hall having the opportunity to review this through the Transportation Committee. Absolutely correct. The 2009 session law does state that the Department of Health shall review it every year, and I think that's a good aspect. However, in speaking with the chairman of the Labor Health Committee, he gets about an inch of paperwork from Workforce Services every year, and couldn't really say whether or not he's seen that specific report because they get so many reports. So I guess going forward, whether you vote this up or down, I think it would probably be good legislation in the future, instead of having that going to the Department of Labor, to have it go to the Department of Transportation. So ultimately, I'm going to vote no based on the premise that I want to see this go to open committee where the good chairman could possibly put something like that in to work out that difference and say that report is now going to go to the Department of Transportation. Just based on the premise that if we're going to repeal the sunset on this, there should still be legislative oversight. And since there's supposed to be legislative oversight already in place, but we don't actually know what that looks like because of an inch of paperwork, it's not really legislative oversight at that point. It's just lost in the paperwork, if it's even there, because like I said, this is just session law. It's not actually in statute. So I'm on and against the conference committee. I really appreciate the good chairman of transportation doing the research to find this out. But I don't think it meets that legislative oversight like we would want. While a report may be filed, we don't actually know what that report looks like, and we don't know if anybody's actually ever seen it. So it's not really legislative oversight at that point. So vote your conscience, I guess. I'm on and against, just based on the premise that I think it would be great to go to an open conference on this to have that inserted so it goes to the good chairman of Transportation's committee this next go-around. And then, and only then, I will be in favor of a repeal of the sunset.
Representative Brown, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Ladies and gentlemen, if you feel the absolute urge to really look deep at this situation, you can pull out your bill on this. And if you look at the fiscal note, this is 100% federal funds. This is all FF in the bill. So when you look at this, we're not talking about state general funds. We're not talking about a gross amount of money here. We're talking about $6,000, I believe, a year. And it may even be a biennium. I can't remember for sure, but pretty negligible amount of money in the ultimate scheme of things when you talk about what we just passed as a budget. So, you know, I think this is the original sunset date was put in here to make sure that we weren't overrunning and we weren't going to have big major problems with this program. We had that sunset date on there for 8 years. I think it was a great idea. We're back at it now. We've looked at it. We see no reason to not have this. And, you know, the JAC has even looked at this. So on and for this amendment, go ahead and select concurrence and vote aye. Thanks.
Chairman Barlow, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. So I want to make clear, the report that's being required, it's in session law, comes from our Department of Workforce Services, who's in charge of this program. And currently they're obligated to send it to that committee that I serve on, number 10. Now, it is true, we get a lot of reports. The INSHA reports actually is from the Department of that takes care of health, but there are other reports comes from two or three different agencies, including insurance and workforce services and several others, family services. So what I committed to the chairman and to the representative from House District Number 1 is that I will confirm with the agency that they are providing it and insist that they do provide it this year, and I will further insist that they provide it to the appropriate to another committee, though it's not spelled out in the current legislation session law. I'll ask them to do that, and I don't think they'll have any problem doing it. This is part of their programmatic, what they do. They look at all of these different things, and I think it's all available. In fact, it's probably all available on their website if I knew how to operate some of their facts and figures on their website, because they have a lot of information there. So anyway, I will follow up. If the good number one is here next year, he will have information in that committee, and they can go into that piece of legislation. And I agree with oversight, but I also believe that after a certain point in time, folks, it's just reports for the sake of reports. So We'll get this rounded up, and we'll have something for you that are sitting in this room next year if you want to take action on that. Thank you.
Anyone else first time? Second time? Okay. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And I really appreciate the good chairman of Labor Health for his diligence in looking into this. And it's pretty clear, I think, that through our efforts in amending that legislation, instead of just passing it through as written, we've actually found an issue, and the good chairman of Labor Health is willing to work it through. And I definitely appreciate that. We heard a little while ago from the good, I believe, vice chair of transportation, not the vice chair, good representative from the capital city, that this is just federal dollars, and it's a small amount, so don't worry about it. Well, I'm going to push back on that, because guess where the federal government gets their money? From the same place the state government gets their money, from taxpayers. So regardless of how much money we're talking about or how little money we're talking about, we have to give due diligence to the taxpayers, regardless where the money comes from, or that it's only a couple thousand dollars, or it's for this group or that group. We have to have due diligence, and we have to require that we are being good caretakers of it. So on and against, on the concurrence, go to open committee and put in that report. Don't just delete what this body put together, because that's all this does. It just deletes what this body already approved once. So I'm a little sticky on it. I like the House position, obviously. But I think we've also proven this year we've been a little better at vetting legislation and digging into details, proven by the good chairman of Labor Health, who just committed to doing more research on this. So let's go to open committee. Let's have some fun. We got a lot of time left in the day.
Anyone else for their second time? Chairman Eklund.
And Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I'm not sure that I moved this. I need to move it. correct. I'm sorry, body. So I move Senate File 34, the Joint Conference Committee Number 1. I'm not just sure I did that right. Joint Conference Committee 1 report to Senate File 34 is a correct way of doing that. And a few more words about it. The money that comes from the federal government is a fund that is built up to $300 million. And to pay these unemployment benefits to military spouses, they don't even use the interest up. It's a solvent fund, and it remains, that corpus remains untouched. And I believe that I'm not sure that everybody really wants a bunch of extra oversight and whatnot. We come here to repair things that we believe are seriously broken or broken. This is something that we've found over the course of the last 9 or 10 years isn't. So I would vote aye on this bill and be done with it. Thank you.
We are voting on Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report to Senate File 34. A majority of elected members is required to adopt the report. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Senate File 34. Allen. Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Fovey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
No.
No. Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas. Excused. Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stith.
No.
Sweeney. Aye. Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker, excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 39 aye, 19 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Conference Committee Number 1 report to Senate File 34. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Number 1 on Senate File 45. Representative Clausen.
I move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 45 and ask for your aye vote. The Senate concurred to our First Amendment, which was language that gave the board duty to limit the sales of alcohol. The second portion of the House position they didn't agree with. They brought a fact sheet so showing similar boards that got compensation, so we conceded with the facts on that one. And then we split the baby on the dollar amount. They wanted $10,000 more than we put in there, so we gave them $55,000. Fairly simple. Ask for your aye vote on.
Anyone for their first time? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to encourage a no vote on this. What this is the State Fair Board that's going to be newly created, different than the State Fair Advisory Board that we currently have. And the State Fair Advisory Board that we currently have, we don't pay those members. They get per diem and mileage just like the other boards in the state. And now all of a sudden this new board that is apparently so passionate about making sure that the State Fair succeeds in a wonderful fashion going forward, but they aren't quite passionate enough to do it unless they get paid. And so all we're doing here in the House amendment that we passed out of here was to say they'll get the per diem, they'll get the mileage, but they don't get paid. So let's let them be passionate about this. Let's let them get this improved, but they don't need paid $100 a day to do it. Their passion should be shown through their dedication to it by doing it on a voluntary basis. So I'd urge a no vote on this.
Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Protam. This sort of ties into a bit of a larger discussion that eventually is going to need to be had on all of our boards. It is across the board how we compensate our boards. And so when we get down to this particular issue and we're nitpicking over whether or not they should be additionally paid $100 a day for salary in addition to their per diem and to their mileage, I mean, it's not a large sum of money. And in addition to that, what we did manage to accomplish was bring this into a middle ground where there was a $10,000 cut, and we have struck it at $5,000. So while I don't disagree with the good member of Joint Appropriations, we are in many ways comparing apples to oranges here. And I think that regardless of in what way our various boards are funded, to how much to the tune that they're funded, and where that funding is coming from, it is a complex issue, and it's a discussion that we need to have for another day. So for this bill and for the sake of moving this project forward, I would urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Representative Haley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, there's a fact sheet from LSO that was made January 13th of 2017 that shows 28 different boards, commissions that get paid for their people that are on those boards and commissions. So this isn't something special. It's just what we thought was fair to do in the Ag Committee. So I'd vote aye. Thank you.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I urge an aye vote on this. We're going to ask people to drop whatever they're doing, and they might have a job somewhere, and not get compensated at all, no salary at all. So we want the brightest and the best. I think they deserve a little compensation. And some of these boards make more than that. They make the same as we do. So I urge an aye vote. Thanks.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Anyone for their second time? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I'd urge a no vote on this. And back to the comment about the 28 boards or the number of boards, most of those are professional licensing boards that their own dues pay for what they want to do within themselves. They are not state boards, per se. They're professional licensing boards. And so if they want to pay high dues and pay their members to be on the boards, that's up to them, not up to us. We're talking about general fund dollars here to compensate people that are supposedly extremely passionate about seeing a successful state fair, but only passionate enough that if you'll give them $100 a day to come do this. So I would urge a no vote, and if it stays in, I'd urge a no on the bill as well.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Clausen.
Oh, just an aye vote. It's not a large sum of money, and it's more of a policy decision. There's tons and tons of the boards that get paid. This is kind of, it's not on the high end, it's not on the low end, it's kind of an average. So anyway, policy decision, not a big deal. I vote.
Question having been called, we are voting on Joint Conference Committee number 1 to Senate File 45. Majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Senate File 45, Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. No. Blake. Aye. Bovee. No. Brown.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
No.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
No.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
McGuire.
No.
Madden.
No.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas excused. Northrup.
No.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey. No.
No.
Pipirinen.
No.
Ponell.
No.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz. No. Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stith.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker excused. Closing vote. Are there any changemen? Changes. Beitman. Aye to no. Edwards. Aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 23 aye, 35 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to adopt Joint Conference Committee number 1 report to Senate File 45. Joint Conference Committee number 2 to Senate File 45 is Steinmetz, Zwanitzer, and Clausen Chair. And just a reminder to the body, that becomes an open committee. The House will stand at ease till the sound of the gavel. House will come to order, please. We're at that order of business of messages from the Senate.
Message number 345, concurrence, passed. Mr. Speaker, pro tem, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 93, Child Sexual Abuse Education and Prevention, Ayes 28, excused, 2. Message number 347, Joint Conference Committee Report, adopted. Mr. Speaker, pro tem, House Bill 78, Omnibus Water Bill Construction. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee No. 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 28, noes 1, excused 1. Message number 348, Joint Conference Committee report adopted. Mr. Speaker, pro tem, Senate File 120, Government Efficiency Project. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee No. 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 29, excused 1. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
The one on Senate File 45.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Yes.
Thank you. Under Rule 2-4A, I would like to have a vote on to recede from non-concurrence on Senate File 45 at this time, but I don't believe it's debatable. And this would be the State Fair Board Conference Committee report.
Chairman's Wanitzer, one moment, please.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
One moment, please. Representative Pelkey, please. Sorry for the delay. Thank you for your understanding.
Oh, no problem, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. We had a couple of rousing speeches from our interns yesterday. One of them went back home to the county with number one on your plates. And, that never gets old. However, his fine colleague stayed here the extra day, and she is about to depart, and I would like to encourage the House to give Sydney an appropriate goodbye. So at least give her a round of applause. Testament to that young woman's level of patience. Congratulations for spending yet another day with us.
Okay, that motion is debatable. However, that motion appears to be in order, and we will proceed in the following manner. We will first vote on the question of receding from the previous action of the House in not concurring to the Senate amendments to House Bill 45. If that motion passes, we will then take a second vote on the original motion to concur in the Senate's amendments to Senate Bill, Senate File 45. Okay, does everyone understand what we're doing? Okay. This vote is on the question of receding from our previous action on Senate File 45. It failed. So what you're voting is, will you reconsider that? That's what you're voting on. If you vote aye, it's you'll consider going back and discussing it again. If you vote no, you're willing to stand on the failure of the committee report. I will caution you, apparently our brothers have and sisters have recessed till 7:30.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Pelkey.
I'm just asking a really easy question. I would assume that that's a vote of the majority rather than two-thirds?
I was getting to that, correct. Okay. It's a majority of the quorum. Okay, does everyone understand what we're doing first? What this means is you're willing to reconsider conference committee report, joint conference committee number one report on Senate File 45. This is the Fair Board 2. Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And I'm just questioning on reconsideration votes. A member brought up to me on reconsideration votes. It has to be an individual from the winning side, and since the reconsideration or the concurrence failed,
wouldn't it have to be someone that voted no on concurrence? And was that the case?
Representative Lindholm, I believe you're correct. Let me check with staff first.
So I'll do it. So I'll do it.
Well, yeah, I would do it if not, but we just need to have it done.
Okay.
Stand at ease for a moment. Okay. Are you going to? Okay. Representatives or Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Let me withdraw that motion at the current time, and I may have another motion after we come back in later this evening.
Thank you, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Pelkey.
Having voted no on that event, on that concurrence, I will submit that motion.
Okay. Now, an explanation on this. It does not take a second for that motion. And we will be, the way you will vote is, and I've checked with staff, your vote is the same as voting on the original report. So if you vote aye, it's to accept the conference committee report. Chairman Pelkey. Mr. Pelkey, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Representative.
Yeah, there'll be a day when we get chairman.
Let's just pause for a moment, please.
Yeah, I'll withdraw it.
Okay. Let's just pause for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to need some further clarification on this. So I think at this time we'll delay any more action on this, and both motions have been withdrawn, and I will recognize the majority floor leader.
It's nice to be recognized, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
And I do. You're the good.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I move the House stand in recess until 7:30.
Prior to voting on the motion, just a caution. We still have, I believe, one or two outstanding conference committees. We have a third conference committee that needs to meet after one of those conference committees reaches some sort of resolution. So it could be a long, long evening. So you might want to make sure you have a place to sleep tonight. With that, you've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, no. We are in recess until 7:30.